Okay. In chapter 44, verse 10, not 46, starting in verse 10, actually you should start with verse 15. But let us start with verse 10, because the first 10 set up a very important principle there. And the Levites, they're supposed to be serving the Lord, who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols. They shall bear their iniquities. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, but only as gatekeepers of the house. You remember there's a lot of guard chambers. So they will be there as the gatekeepers of the house, and also ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifices for the people. Right, so they're going to cook them in all the four kitchens. And they shall stand before them to minister to them. They shall serve them in all the dining halls there. They have dining chambers. Everybody will be eating there, and these Levites will be preparing for them, okay? Because they minister to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord, Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquities. So you should really see here the righteousness of God. So don't think that today, if we are not faithful to the Lord, it's okay. No. The most important thing for a servant of the Lord is that he be found faithful. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Somebody read it, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Somebody who has it, please read it. Yeah, anyone.
Let a man so consider us a servant of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God.
Yes.
Moreover, it is required in a steward that one must
be found capable. No? Be found strong and good administrators, good speakers, very capable. Is that what is needed? What does it say?
Faithful.
Faithful. You may be very capable, but not faithful. You're going to do a lot of crazy things. So, to be faithful is very, very important. And these Levites, they were not faithful. Instead of being faithful to God, they were faithful to follow the trend of the people because they're afraid of people. So, they just follow the people to worship their idols and even serve them before their idols. So this is not very good. And they shall not, in verse 13 of chapter 44, and they shall not come near me to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. So by not being able to come near to the Lord, that's already a big shame. What? You're a Levite and you cannot come near. You cannot serve in the holy place. You cannot even touch the holy things of the Lord. What kind of a Levite? So here, already the very fact that they could not even come near to the Lord, not touch the holy things, shows that it's really a shame. That is their shame that they should bear. Remember, this is talking about the Jews, because they will be the ones serving. as priests, the Levites. So, but spiritually, we all need to learn the lesson. Today, so many people, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. So many people are serving the Lord, seemingly, but they are not serving the Lord in a faithful way. They speak to entertain people. They speak what people like to hear, but not what God wants to say to people. And they even change God's word. So, we, the brothers and sisters, today, we should not just soak in everything you hear. No, 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 no. That's why I'm helping you. Even singing the song, when I sing some songs, some of the songs I cannot sing anymore because this is not right. Just like a simple thing like that, I must speak or else I die. No, 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 no. This, although it's a very simple thing, I just can't swallow that. It's because it's not right. So our spirit today should be sensitive to what is holy, what is not holy, what is the truth and what is not the truth, what is life and what is death. So you all need to have a discerning spirit, and you can only have a discerning spirit if you're a faithful person, because immediately you will notice this is not right. But if you're not faithful, even if it's not right, you say, well, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Once you say it doesn't matter, then you begin to compromise many other things. So at the end, even if you hear, oh, man can become God, oh, it sounds good. Why not? Oh, then you cannot discern anymore. At the very end, you cannot discern anymore. So it is very important for us to be faithful. So here you can really see, nevertheless, I will make them as the millennial kingdom here to keep charge of the temple for all of its work. Of course, the pavement needs to be cleansed. There will be dust coming in, and those are dining places. It should be kept clean, so they should be keeping it clean there, right? So, and for all that has to be done in the outer court, there are many things that have to be done in the outer court. The gates, the guards, all these things, the cleaning, the cooking, the serving, etc. All the things that need to be done in the outer court and in the gates, the Levites will be doing this. But they cannot get into the sanctuary. And in that inner court. So here, who can go there? But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who was a priest during the time of David, for example, right? Who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord. Because while everybody was running astray, Zadok and his sons were faithful to stay at the sanctuary and minister to God faithfully and not following the trend of the people. So today, in our service to the Lord, whether you are faithful, you are not faithful, it's a very important matter. Whether you're afraid of men, you're afraid of people, you're afraid to lose your position, you're afraid to be laughed at, you're afraid to be called narrow, you're afraid to be called strange, or whatever people may say, it doesn't matter. You only care what God says, because you're serving God. And this is what Paul says in Galatians. Let us turn to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says here, oh, I think it was in chapter 2, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Let me See what Paul says here. Wait. In my Galatians, where is that verse now? In verse 10, I think. Yeah, chapter 1, I'm sorry, not chapter 2. I got confused here. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. And now you can really see the faithfulness in the service of Paul. And in the past years, I saw so many people trying to please certain men. And especially knowing already that everything is wrong and going downhill and a lot of unrighteousness and sinfulness, they cover up everything and refuse to say anything and even lie for that man and turn everything around. So this is definitely unfaithful to the uttermost. And so in seeking to please men, they offended the Lord so much and caused so many to be stumbled. And this is not right. We should learn from it. We should learn from it. So let's come back to chapter 44. The sons of Zadok, they, verse 16, they shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table, because there in the sanctuary, if you take a look at your picture here, in page 4, there's a little table here. During the time of David and Moses, this is called the golden incense altar, but now it's just a wooden table. So you can really see, and I want to press this point into your heart. By this time in the millennial kingdom, in the temple, especially in the sanctuary, it becomes so simple, not complicated. There's no more showbread. There's no more golden lampstand there. And now there is also no more so-called the golden incense altar. There is just a wonderful table. And what does a table in the Bible signify? What do you do in a table? It's not an office table, definitely not. And it's not a working desk and a bank where we all do the work. No. So what do you do in a table apart from office table or any kind of a table? This table is for the Lord to dine with us, to fellowship with us. Did not the Lord tell the church in Laodicea, I knock at the door, if you open, I will come in to what?
Dine.
To dine with you. So here, in this wonderful sanctuary of God, apart from the throne in the Holy of Holies, where the Lord God is ruling, there's only a wonderful table. Praise the Lord. And in this table, definitely, we will enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. And even today, the most important thing in the church life is the reality of this fellowship with Him, with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And this fellowship is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So coming back to 44, right? Here, they shall come into my sanctuary and shall come near my table to minister to me. Now, the foremost service, the best service, is not to do something for God, which everybody thought is to do something for God. In the outer court, you have a lot of things to do. You You have a lot of things to do. You keep the door, you guard, you clean, there's so many activities to do. But, of course you're doing it for God. But it is not a service that God wants you to do, actually. It's not the best service. So the most wonderful part of this service is the part of the sons of Zadok. They come in, they serve in this area. What is there to do here? To minister to him is to come near to him. If you are not a person who comes near to God, you cannot serve him. The best service is to come to him and to be before him and to have fellowship with him. So in the Old Testament days, this table was called the golden incense altar. It is the prayer, burning incense, which signifies our praying life, coming near to him, to burn incense, to satisfy the Lord. So if a person is so busy doing this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so much action, and you, at the end when you come home, you're so tired, you just lie down in bed and sleep. Next time in the morning watch at 4 o'clock, you jump up. I know the Koreans, they have morning watch at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I know of a Korean group, and those poor people, 4 o'clock morning watch, and they start serving, doing so much activities until 10 o'clock at night. You are so busy. At the end, when you come home at 10 o'clock, what can you do? You just drop dead on your bed, you go to sleep. You think that's serving God? You think God wants you to serve him like that? No, the best service is that you spend time in the Lord's presence. You spend time before him. Look at Moses. He spent so much time in the holy place. He spent so much time with God. And the more you spend time with the Lord, the more your face will be shining. So here you can really see the privilege of the sons of Zadok is that they can come near to him. This is the service that you need to treasure. Today, people treasure the activities. And you can see their activities, so you appreciate the activities, but you cannot see what is going on in here. A person who spends time with the Lord, that you cannot see. But when they're preaching, doing a lot of things, wow, you really appreciate those activities, right? But you don't see really this particular service. So this is wonderful, to bring the fat and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as an enjoyment for the Father. So as a priest, this is the best service. Remember this. So if your relationship with the Lord is not intimate and not good, then all the outward things that you do will not be much appreciated by the Lord. Then you'll be doing the work that this unfaithful Levites will be doing. Would you like to do that? Oh, it's better than nothing, right? But it's not the best service. Got it? That's the first point. This is the first point concerning the service of the priest. Then let us continue. The second point is when they minister, whatever they wear, that is very important. Verse 17, and it shall be whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, not even when they come into the temple, when they already enter into the inner gates, they should already be prepared. Meaning to say, they should already wear the priestly garment. Now, let's take a look. They shall put on linen garments. Linen garments. In brief, put on Christ, because Christ is your righteousness. Remember the linen? Linen are the righteous acts of the saints, and which means they are people who put on Christ, living by this Christ. So if you put on Christ, whatever service you do will be Christ doing it with you and through you. And it is Christ in you that is doing it. So if your service, you feel so hard after that, you're all worn out and you're half dead. That is not the service that God wants you to do. So it says here, no wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads, and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. This is why they have to wear the linen garments. When you serve the Lord, you're not allowed to sweat. What does it mean, not allowed to sweat? That means you should not serve with your own strength. You know, the first time sweat was mentioned is when Adam and Eve fell and sin entered. In the Garden of Eden, before they fell, there was no sweat. They were just enjoying all the fruit. Now, after they fell, they have to till the ground with their own strength. And with sweat, you will eat the fruit of your labor. So it is the fruit of your labor. Now you have to work so hard and use your muscles. You have to work till the ground, and the ground was cursed. So you're working, and you work, and you work, and at the end, it was so difficult. So, sweat is not a good word. It is not a good word. So, that means that when you serve the Lord, do not serve by your own capability, your own strength, your own method, your own ways, and it will cause a lot of sweat. When we serve the King, our heavenly service should be not you, but Christ in you. Not by power or by might, but by the Holy Spirit. Not by horsepower. Remember? Nor the legs of men, but it is the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. If He doesn't build your building, you can sweat and change clothes every, I don't know what, right? It is not good. So remember the priests. When we serve, no sweat. Do not use your own strength to serve. Put on Christ. So Paul said, as many as were baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. Christ is the garment of righteousness. So when you put on Christ, you do everything by Him. So Paul says, not I, but Christ. Not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So if you said, Paul, wow, you must have sweat a lot. Paul will tell you, sorry, you're mistaken. It's not I, but Christ. So learn to do this. Otherwise, When you're building the church, you will have so much trouble. You'll be saying, oh, John, it is so hard to build the church. I tried this and I tried that. Oh, it's so difficult. Oh, my goodness, this and that. The church life here in Kansas City, I sweat a lot. That's not good. That is not good. No. May the Lord help us to see His wonderful principle of serving. If you sweat a lot, you may be wearing the wrong clothes. Especially in the Philippines. All of a sudden, you'll be wearing woolen clothes. Even if you don't do anything, you'll be sweating. Because you're wearing wool. Don't wear wool in Manila. Especially if it is 35 degrees Celsius, you wear wool. Even if you don't do anything, you'll be sweating. But in the house of the living God, when we serve, don't sweat. Okay? Put on Christ. Amen. Now let's continue to see what happened. Then, when they go out to the outer court, to the people, because the priests are certainly not just locked in here, but they serve there, that doesn't mean that they're there 24 hours a day. They will go out to see the people here in the outer court. What should they do? They shall take off their garments in which they have ministered and leave them in the holy chambers and put other garments on, the normal garments, the common garments. And in their holy garments, they shall not sanctify the people. What does it mean? In our experience, what does it mean? It means you should not mix what is holy with what is common. No. You should separate them. If you don't separate them and you mixed what is holy and what is common, pretty soon you won't be able to tell anymore what is holy. So what is holy may become defiled. And what is common may seemingly become something else. So there should be no mixture. So you may be my good friend. You may even be my niece. So my relationship with you as a niece is purely a relationship of relatives. I cannot bring in the holy things into this relationship, and at the very end, it will be corrupted. So at the end, because you're a good friend, oh, then I will allow the common things to come in. And so there will be a mixture of holy and common things at the very end. The whole thing is neither this. So sanctify what is of the Lord. Learn to separate that. What is of the Lord is of the Lord. What is common, remains there. Do not mix what is holy with what is common. And what is common with what is holy. At the end, you will neither be holy nor common, nor common nor holy. You don't separate them anymore, and that is not good. So the priest should take care of that. So here you have, in this place here, many chambers here. Also 30 chambers. These are the chambers for the priest to do many different services. There are many services. Okay. So, and there are three stories of these chambers. So this is for you to look at it, right? In this view here, when you look at it. But if you look at it in this view, then you will see three stories. So there will be 90 chambers, because there are many priests there serving. I cannot go into details right now, but perhaps later. Now let us go to another point here. They shall neither shave their heads, nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. Well trimmed. So, to shave your head is an extreme. You just shave your head so you're bald-headed, like the monks. They all shave their heads, it's bald-headed. Or you go to the other extreme, you grow your hair long. So you went to the other extreme like a hippie. Right? So, the Lord told the priest here, they should neither be bald, nor to grow the hair long. Because, first of all, we are oftentimes very extreme. Either we do this, go to the very extreme, you shave your head. According to the Bible, men should not have long hair, should not have covering. And women should not have short hair, but long hair. In principle, meaning to say there should be submission to the authority of men, and men represents the headship. But remember, above men is Christ. Christ is the head of men. Now, well, since I'm a man, so I should not have long hair, well, I might as well shave and have no hair. To have no hair is to fully expose your head, guangtou, like a monk. That means you assume full authority. Husband is the head of the wife. So you are my wife. You must listen to me in everything. Whatever I say goes. That means you shave your head. You shave your head. You have no restriction. You think you are everything. You are the authority. On the other hand, you see some men with long hair, the priests with long hair. They just listen to whatever everybody says. Okay, okay. Everything that other people, okay, okay. They have absolutely no decision making of their own. Whatever the wife says, okay. Whatever the wife says, okay. I know certain brothers like that. Whatever their wife says, okay. Amen. Amen. Whatever. That is for a priest to have long hair. You have no authority or decision making before the Lord. So either you shave or you have long hair. You are not trimmed in your hair. Don't go to the extreme. No. It doesn't mean that if I'm an authority, I'm an elder in the church, I make all the decisions. I don't listen to the saints. That is, I shave my head and I don't listen to anybody. And finally, I'm the head. So my head looks like a bulb. Shiny head looks like a bulb. Of course, it's something else. If somebody loses all his hair, that's something else. But if you purposely shave it, that's not very good. And then you see some elders, they just cannot make any decision. Whatever people say, okay, okay. And even if it's wrong, okay, okay. Because they're so afraid of people, they cannot make any decision. Ah, this priest has long hair. This priest has long hair. Oh my goodness. You know, it's very hard to really see a priest whose hair is properly trimmed. Either everybody must listen to me. I know somebody like that, you know. I think you know him too. He's already gone. He's not living anymore. Why? Everybody must listen to me. That brother doesn't have any hair. He shaved his head. Then you see some brothers, some serving ones in the church, like, okay, yeah, okay. Let's do this. Okay, even if it's wrong, okay. Somebody says, let's do that. Okay. Whatever. How can you serve as a priest like that? That's why I kept on telling to so many of the serving ones, if you want to be a serving one in a church life, you have to be a courageous brother. If it's wrong, you should say it. And if the saints, whatever they say is right, then you have to learn to listen to them because they are right. But if they're wrong, you should have the courage to say, no, it's wrong. If you have no courage to say that, you're a priest with long hair. And if you are so egoistic, everything must be me, you're a bald-headed priest, you're a monk or a monkey, whatever. You are not qualified to be a priest. So, what are you? Are you shaven, or do you have long hair, or you're well-trimmed? Praise the Lord, you know, right? I don't expect you to give me an answer, but we all need to know the principle. And this is where we are touching the spiritual principle in the Word of God. Now you know what it means, right? Okay, good. Then, verse 20, no priest shall drink wine when he enters into the inner court. You know, if you drink wine, did not the law teach you, if you drink, don't drive? You cannot drink and drive. And you are allowed only a certain, portion, a certain percentage of alcohol. Beyond that, you're going to lose your license. In America, you are caught drunk driving, you're going to lose your license. It's a serious offense because not only it's dangerous for you, it's dangerous for others. Meaning to say you're no longer sober. You're no longer sober. The person who drinks, don't think, oh, I'm just drinking a little bit. Well, even if you drink a little bit, you go driving, you'll be driving like this. And when you see the sign, you interpret it differently. So, do not drink, do not be drunken with the wine even of this world. Because if you're drunken, you're not sober anymore. You'll be teaching the saints to do something that's not right. You'll be sharing the Word of God not in a sober way anymore. You'll be even changing the Word of God. People are drunk with their power, with their position, and thinking they are the apostle. And whatever they say in the Word is right, and everybody must listen to him. He's drunk with power. He's drunk with his authority. He thinks he is great, and he is so proud he's drunken with himself at the end. My goodness, you won't be sober anymore sharing the Word. The Word is no longer sober. So a priest should not drink, at least when he enters into the inner court. Not even entering into the sanctuary, you're just entering into the inner court. Even just getting into your car, no, you should not drink. Even if you're not in the street yet, you shouldn't get into your car if you're drunk. At least don't get into the driver's seat. Clear, Johann? That is why if you're serving the Lord, you have to be sober. Sober-minded. Praise the Lord. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. Then, verse 22. They, the priests, shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman. This is the general rule. Okay, no widow or a divorced woman, but someone that is a virgin, first of all, right? But take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, not just anyone outside. Because if you take anyone of the Gentile world, she is going to influence you and bring you into the world to worship the idols. You remember Solomon? What happened to Solomon? Solomon became an idol, terrible idol worshipper at the very end of his life. It is a tragic story. So first of all, you must, if you want to marry, and all of you young people remember this, marry someone that is of the descendant of the house of Israel, someone who really believes and born again, who loves the Lord, and in the church life, it is the best way. Because otherwise he's going to influence your life. You're the other way around. The sisters must also marry someone who is of the descendants of the house of Israel. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. Or widows of the priests. You can do that. Not just any widows. But if you want to marry a widow, marry a widow is okay, because a widow, if the husband dies, according to Romans chapter 7, the woman is free to remarry. She is free from the bond of the law to the former husband, because the husband passed away. So death frees you from the marriage law. So she could remarry. But you must marry, if you want to, a widow, but she must be a widow of the priest, who already has known all the rules and regulations of the priest. Otherwise, I tell you, you'll be arguing with your wife every day. Why should you do that? Oh, how come you're always in the temple? And how come you're always, before you enter into the inner court, you just had a fight with your wife. How are you going to enter into the inner court in peace, and you're still mad at your wife because you just had a quarrel, and you are entering into the presence of the Lord with your temper still flaring? That is definitely not good. So, meaning to say, serving the Lord, we who are serving the Lord, we should take care of our marriage. Marriage life is an important life. Don't underestimate the marriage life. So, anyway, take care of that. Then, concerning the functioning of these priests, because they, apart from coming near to the Lord, they must teach the people. In verse 23, and they shall teach my people, not doctrines. It's easy to talk about doctrines. But they shall teach my people the difference between holy and unholy. This is important. Don't try to interpret the Bible in a strange way and telling stories and strange doctrines and strange interpretation. No, you teach God's people practical living of Christ. What is holy, what is not holy. You teach your people, his people, God's people. And cause them to discern between unclean and the clean. This is important. This is important. So if you listen to a message which you cannot apply in your daily life, what is the use of that knowledge if I teach you, oh, God became man so that man can become God? So how is this doctrine going to help you? Wilson, I'm telling you, now you're God. Whoa, Wilson, now you're God. How is this teaching going to help you? Are you going to now discern? Is Schubert God or not? I'm going to discern whether he's God or he's not God. This is crazy. What kind of a crazy doctrine is that? Is it going to help you? Janine, now you can become God. So you don't need to do your business anymore. You just make paper into money. Turn paper into money. Isn't that good? Instead of turning water into wine, you turn your newspaper, cut them into pieces, put it in a box, and out it becomes dollars. How about that? Crazy doctrines. It's not going to help anyone. But you should help the saints to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is clean, what is unclean, what is holy, and what is not holy. This is very important. Otherwise, you'll never know what is right. You know what is Jerusalem, what is Babylon. You better be clear. You better be clear what is above and what is below. What is the spirit, what is the flesh? You better teach the saints to differentiate that. Then in 24, verse 24, in controversy, they shall stand as judges. And the word judges in the Old Testament, there is another special term used. It is the same term as Elohim, God. But this only refers to the judges. Why? Because God says, you are judging not by yourself, you are judging for God. So you should be righteous in your judgment. You are representing Elohim in dealing with this case. So you should judge righteously. You should not take any bribe. You should not have respect of persons. All of these were given in the law for the judges. But unfortunately, the judges of Israel didn't keep the rule. So here, you shall stand as judges in controversy and judge according to my judgments, that they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. They shall not defile themselves. Now, the verse 25 is they, now coming back to the priest shall not defile themselves by coming near to a dead person. So, at that time here, physically, the dead person is anybody who died, except your father, your mother, it says here, or your brother or sister that is not married. The sister that is married, no, you cannot. So you can only deal with the death of your father, mother, of your immediate relatives, brother or sister. Now, how about spiritually? There are certain people that are spiritually dead. And they died all of a sudden. People who may be a good brother and sister, one day, all of a sudden, they die spiritually. It just changed. You just don't know what happened. For such a person, you better don't have a good heart and trying to, oh, encourage them, oh, brother, you touch that death. That death will come to you. So you have to learn to discern between what is living and what is dead. Dead does not mean that this person committed something wrong. If a person commits a sin, he can be forgiven if he repents. But if a person is spiritually dead, that is something else. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyway, let's continue, because our time is up. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, not even touching. You don't come near. Only for father, mother, son, or daughter, or brother, or unmarried sister may they defile themselves. After that, he should be cleansed, and they shall count 7 days for him. So even then you need to be cleansed and wait for 7 days. Because according to the word of God, spiritually, death is worse than sin. So the defilement of death is worse. So you need to be cleansed for 7 days. And on the day that he goes, the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in my sanctuary, he must, in addition, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. So, as a priest serving God, stay away from anything that is death, spiritually death. Then let's go on to almost the last point. And it shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. Praise the Lord. Amen. You shall give them no possession in Israel. No possession. What would you prefer? A piece of land in Israel or God to be your possession? What do you prefer? What is a better inheritance? You want God, or you want a piece of property in Israel, in the good land? What do you prefer? God? I thought you were going to say both. For God, there is no both. I am their inheritance, God says. Because, hey, my goodness, if you have God as your inheritance and you want something else, that's not good. I am their possession. And it says here, you shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. And they shall eat of the grain offering, the best offerings God will give to the priests. God will give the best part to the priest. Now, how do you apply this? The implication of this is the one serving the Lord should not love money. Whether you're an elder, it's written in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you should not love filthy lucre. That means you should not love money. It doesn't mean that you should have no money, but you should not love money. Because once you love money, you'll be corrupted. Here sits a millionaire. And here sits a poor man. You know what James says? James, you have not read James. Read a book of James. Here's a millionaire. Oh, brother. If you are like that, you are through in serving God. You are through in serving God. Today, in the whole of Christianity, all the services is for money. for me. But in the house of God, it should not be. Whether you're rich, you're poor, everyone is the same. Everyone. No Greek, no Jews, no slave, no employer, employees, there's no difference. No social difference, no class difference. We are all one in Christ. If an elder or a serving one, whether a deacon, anybody in the church life, if you look at money so deeply and so importantly, you're not qualified to hold any position in a church life. You're not qualified to serve in any position, period. And you can only see this if you realize God is your possession. God is your possession. Praise the Lord. This principle must be kept in all the services in the church life. Praise the Lord. Then the last part is the priest in verse 31 shall not eat anything, bird or beast that died naturally or was torn by wild beast. Don't eat just anything that is without life. Talking about spiritual food, don't take in any crazy doctrines. So, anything that is without life, or maybe it was alive yesterday, but now it's dead today. You know, that song was very much alive 40 years ago, but today I cannot sing it because now I found out it's dead. There's something is not right. I cannot swallow it. I can't eat it. Understood, everybody? Good. Now we can all go home or have lunch. Praise the Lord. So you can realize that to serve in the house of the living God as priest is not easy, and we have to be those who are faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Young and old. You learn something? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. May the Lord really help us. And may the Lord build up a normal, wonderful church life in QC. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord.